stand in an empty church and preach the word of God. But we know that many people are interested in the word of God. Many people tune in, and each and every person that tunes in is welcome to hear the word of God. I also want to greet you with the words of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it is our desire that this grace and peace may truly be with each and every one as we fellowship together in spirit, and that the love of Christ can truly dwell in our hearts. Let us begin with prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing your word with as many people as are willing to tune in. And Lord, we pray for those that are listening. We pray that you would give a comfort and a peace to each one, and that we would all allow your spirit to touch us, your word to teach us, and that we would all have a desire to have a fellowship and a closer walk with you. Lord, we pray for our country. We thank you that we have these freedoms, that we can still share your word, even though we cannot gather together, but yet we can share your word and we can spread your love in so many different ways. Through the technology that we have these days, we can call each other and talk to each other. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Help us to realize how good we have it. And Lord, we pray that you would be further with our governments, that you would give them the wisdom to lead and to guide our country in such a way that it will be done to your honor and your glory. We pray, Lord, for all those that are not well, for those that are in hospitals, those that are at home and aren't feeling well, whether it is physical pain or whether it is emotional or spiritual, we pray, Lord, that you will lift them up and carry them on your hands, in your hands, and be an encouragement to each and every one of them. We pray also especially, Lord, for our medical system, for the doctors, the nurses, paramedics, and all that are involved in taking care of our sick. We pray that you would give them strength, you would give them health, and that through all of this, we can be drawn closer to you. And Lord, we also want to think of our elderly in the care homes, wherever they are, as they are often so lonely and so alone. We pray that they may feel you near, and that they may be comforted in knowing that there are many that are praying for them. We pray that as we read your word and as we share, we pray, Lord, that we may be able to understand what you want to speak to us today, and that you may give me the joy to proclaim your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I wish to encourage each and every one of us. We know that as times are different, it is sometimes difficult for us to see the good in things. But when we look at Psalms 91, we see there that the psalmist is truly encouraged, even though things are maybe not the way he would like to see them. But we can see that if we look into Scripture and we look to God, we can also find much encouragement. In Psalms 95, we read, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength and the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. It is clearly that the psalmist writes this psalm in a time where he is speaking to the children of Israel, but we can apply it to our lives today as well. First of all, it is important that we sing unto the Lord, that we rejoice and that we have hope, that we are joyful, that we are joyful in knowing that God is good. And we may often ask ourselves, how can we do this in a time like this? Well, I believe it has to do with our faith. When he says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, do we recognize the Lord, our God, as a great God? Do we also look, as the psalm looks at things here, that we look at it as God has created all things? He has created all things in a very wonderful and marvelous way. And then we can see that as he has made all those things, he is our God. He is the God who leads and guides us. We are the people of his pasture. And that we may find hard to believe. But I believe the days that we are living in, the Lord is speaking to us. And that is another question that we may ask ourselves. Do we see this day as the day that the Lord is speaking to us? Or are we selfish, or are we trying to find a different way through this? I believe that the Lord is speaking to all the world. As this virus has gone through the whole world, he is speaking to the whole world, and he is calling people to himself. And he is calling them and saying, today, if ye will hear my voice, hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But rather, surrender yourselves to him and allow him to speak to you and to give you the message of encouragement that you would need, and that you can lift up one another in your home or by a phone call, whichever way you find it possible to encourage each other, do it in a way. Because the Lord still wants to use us. He wants to use us to do what he can so that we can further his kingdom. And so I just want to encourage us. Let us remember that God is good, and he has created all things. He has always been in control of all things, and he will be until the final day. When we turn to the book of Romans, we find that in the book of Romans, Paul is also dealing with some of the issues of the church of that day. And I want to go to a few verses in Romans chapter 15 this morning. And I want to begin with reading verses 1 to 6. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we can see that Paul has a desire that there be this unity and that we glorify God with one mind, that we praise Him, that we have that connection where we want to be together and we want to do it in a way that we are like-minded. And in order for us to be like-minded, we have to have that one connection that ties us together. And that is our faith in God, our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can be encouragers one toward another. We can help each other out. And we will see that as we are helping each other out, we are drawing closer to each other and we are drawing closer to God. He says here that we then that are strong. Who are the strong? Sometimes we look to the church and we look at the leadership in the church and we feel that they are the strong ones. They are the ones that we can go to help us. And truly, this is the way it should be. But let me assure you of one thing. The leadership, the pastors, the elders in the church, they often feel weak as well. They don't often feel as strong as they perhaps appear to be. But they need the prayers of the church and they need the encouragement of their congregation in order that they can feel strong. And I believe that we could truly say that each and every one of us is strong at one point. And each and every one of us is weak at one point. And often that strength and that weakness has to do with where we are in our faith walk. How close are we in our relationship to Jesus Christ? Have we perhaps yielded to temptation? Have we fallen into sin and therewith drawn away from God? Allowed ourselves to be drawn away so that we are no longer in that close relationship where we feel that it is Christ that is giving us the strength. We need to have that faith. We need to have that strength. We need to have that connection. And yes, in reality, we are all, whether we look to be strong or not, we are all in need of correction sometimes in our life. There's different times in our lives, we go through different times, and we all need correction. But we find our strength in Christ, in our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we can be strong one toward another and help each other bear our infirmities. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, as Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Jesus also says in John chapter 15 that without me ye can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, we are weak. He talks here about that we then ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So as we are in that time of strength where we need to bear the infirmities of the weak, what is he talking about when he is talking about the infirmities? As I looked this up and I studied it, I found out that that word infirmities means different things in different places. And I found out that infirmities generally are referred to as sin. And we know that Scripture tells us that Jesus took upon him our infirmities, as we read or 8 rather, in verse 17, where Jesus is talking, or it's writing there about Jesus and how it's talking about how things needed to be fulfilled. And it says there, in that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So when we think of Jesus, he came into this world. He took our sins upon himself. He also bare our sicknesses. In his time while he was here in this world, he healed many people. He healed them from all kinds of illnesses. He took their illnesses from them. When he went to the cross and he shed his blood for all the sins of the world, he took our infirmities, all the sins, all the infirmities of the world, he took them upon himself. And he died with them. And those were the infirmities of time past, before the time of Christ, and also for the present time, as well as for the time in the future. For the time that we are living in today, Jesus came and he took those infirmities upon him. He bare them. He died with them. And now he requires of us to come to him, to bring them to him, to confess them to him, and then he will relieve us of them. And so he took those infirmities. But when we read here in Romans chapter 15 about that we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, we can in no way take the sins of another person upon ourselves. It is not realistic. It is not possible. We cannot die for the sins of another person. Jesus did, but I can't. And neither can anyone else. But when it talks here about those infirmities, and I looked it up in the Greek dictionary, what that word infirmities means here, the definition that is given there is scrubbles of the conscience. And then I thought about that for a while. What is that referring to? But as I looked at that, and then I looked at what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, and how he was dealing with issues in the church, and he was dealing with the things that people were having difficulty with in regards to one eating meat, and the other not eating meat, and one keeping a certain holiday, and the other not keeping that holiday. And he goes through that, and he talks about that, and he takes them through that, and he is teaching them not to be so strong on those things that really don't matter, that really don't matter to our salvation, to our faith. He says there in verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved, and then he says, with thy meat. And you know, and we can put anything in there. If thy brother be grieved with whatever you are causing him to be grieved with. That is what he is talking about. He says, now walkest thou not charitably. Then you are not loving him. Then you are not bearing his infirmities, we would be able to say. He says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. So when we want to do good, and we need to do good, but when we do it in a selfish way, in a way that we want honor and glory for self, perhaps, or where we think, my way is always right. My way is the way it has to be. And we are causing someone in the church or in the neighborhood, in the community, we are causing that person to stumble in their faith, all because of our arrogance, our selfishness, our pride. We may be right, we may be good, but it can be evil spoken of. And Paul says, don't let this happen. Don't let the good that you do be evil spoken of. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink or the things of this world, the things that are so important in this society, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Approved of men. Acceptable to God and approved of men. That is where we want to be. We want to be, first of all, acceptable to God. That is where we need to be. And if we are walking in a way in which we are acceptable to God, we need to remember that that is what is truly important, and that we walk in such a way where we are acceptable to God, not alone to ourself or to our own self ways, but much rather that we are walking in a way that is acceptable to God. When it is acceptable to God, it will also be pleasing to mankind. And that is what we need to be. We need to walk in a way so that it is acceptable to God and pleasing to mankind. He says in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. That we may edify one another. Not edify self so much, but edify one another. That is the purpose of us, to bear the infirmities of the weak, so that we can be an encouragement to them. And we know that in the time that we are living in, there is so many different things. There are struggles that people are going through. They are having a hard time in life with all that is going on. But you know, when we are there one for another, doing the things that are pleasing to God, pleasing to Christ, walking in a way that he will be honored, he will be glorified, and yet carrying each other along, helping each other along in that way. He says in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For his good, so that he can receive good from it. And you know, this doesn't mean that we then do everything just to please him. Because it isn't good for that everybody around me does everything in a way that it will only please me. Can you imagine how spoiled I would be if my wife would always do for me everything exactly the way I want it? Yes, I would love it, right? But at the same time, it isn't good for me. I also need to do things the way that she wants things done. And I need to sometimes sacrifice things. I need to do things different in our home in order to make things work, that it can also benefit her. And in the same way, I need to do things different in the community so that it will benefit the people of the community, to be an encouragement to them, to bear their infirmities that they are going through at this time. And then in verse 3 he says, for even Christ pleased not himself. Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. When we think of Christ not pleasing himself, if we think of where Jesus was in heaven. He was in glory. He was with God the Father. And he came down into this world to show us how to love, how to walk in a way that it was pleasing to God. Jesus, when he walked in this earth, he says himself, he did nothing that was not pleasing to his Father. But he did as his Father told him. That's what he did. And so he came here and he walked in a day when things were not good. The people of that day went through many hardships. They had hardships in their life. They were under Roman bondage. Perhaps we could compare that somewhat to what we are going through now, but not nearly. Because we feel we are in bondage. For us to be isolated feels to us like as if we are in bondage. But you know, I am reminded of what I was told just this last week of a man who has already passed on and gone to be with the Lord. Some of the last words that he had said. And what he had said, it was, I have had the privilege of living through the good years. And when we think of the country that we live in, we do not know hardship. Our generation does not know hardship. We have always had it good. We have always had things so good. We've had enough food. We've had peace. We've had clothing. We've had houses that we can live in. As a church, we have always been able to gather together and to encourage each other. And all of this has been so good. But you know, when Jesus walked in this world, he faced many trials. He faced much persecution. He faced tribulation. And he did it all not to please himself, but he did it for you and for me. And so we can so clearly see that we too can learn from this and that we need to not be selfish, but much rather seek to live a life in which we try to please our neighbor, not for his selfish good, but for his edification, that he too can be drawn closer to God. And when we think of how Jesus did that, when he walked here in his time, we can see very clearly in Scripture that he was very bold. He spoke out boldly. He spoke the truth. He told the people exactly what they needed to hear. And yet there was thousands of people that came and heard him. They wanted to hear his word. And why was that? It tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. The time that they were living in, there was much teaching. There was much teaching of how people should live. But the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of that day had come to the point that they were not always teaching the truth. Jesus, he taught with authority. Authority means it is the truth. It is something you can depend on. And that is what people were astonished at. They were astonished to hear the word being taught in truth. And when they heard that, they drew to him and they had a desire to hear more and more. When he would go from one place to another, they would always find him. When he tried to get away, they would find him, even if they had to go to the other side of the lake or sea. They would go and they would find him, and again there would be great multitudes. And again Jesus would teach them, and he would encourage them. Our purpose here on earth is to glorify God. Our purpose here on earth is to edify one another. And in doing that, we need to help each other out in the struggles that we have in life. And in reality, we all have struggles. So this morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us. Let us not be selfish. Let us not look at all of this as we are being punished. But rather, if we look at it as God is calling us. God is calling us to draw nearer to him, to have a closer relationship with him, to have a closer relationship with one another. We have had it so good for so many years, and we have never been hindered from worship. Let us not think that taking for granted in the past, that will go unpunished. And I know that so often we have taken it for granted. If it didn't exactly please me to fellowship with other believers, I would stay home, or I wouldn't. And now, through all of this, we are seeing, when we can't, how important it is to us. Let us remember, we need Christ, and Christ needs us to build his kingdom. And when this all opens up, I want to encourage us, let us not take it for granted any longer, but let us be strong and encourage each other and work together, not to please ourselves, but to edify our neighbor and to glorify Christ. In closing, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks one more time for this opportunity of sharing your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word can go out through the ways of modern technology. And Lord, that your word can be powerful. It can be powerful wherever it is heard, wherever it is read, if only we allow it to speak to us. And Lord, this morning we pray that you will be powerful and that we will allow your word to speak to us, and that it will give us the strength that we need to go on through this day and through the days that are before us, and that we will also learn to be loving, to be kind, to be an encouragement to each other, to lift each other up, and to help each other when we are or when someone else is in a time of need. We pray once again for our country. We pray for our governments. We pray, Lord, that you will give wisdom, that you will lead and guide, and that you will give us as a church the wisdom to deal with all these things and to do it in a way that you will be honored and glorified, and we will be lifted up and strengthened in our faith. For, Lord, we know that without you we can do nothing, and with us having faith in you, we are nothing. For, Lord, it is only you that has created us. It is you that has created us. It is you that gives us strength to go on one day at a time. And we pray that you will give us joy in doing that. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will not have a closing song at this time, as it is a little bit difficult with the way things are done. So I just want to thank each and every one for listening in and for taking part in the way that we can. And in closing, I would like to close with the benediction of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.